welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Wednesday. This Thursday, rather, July 6, 2023. One person was killed and many others were injured when a building collapsed in South Sudan's capital, Juba.
I am not sure if the foundation of this building was well constructed. Another problem, I think, was that on the third floor, the workers overloaded it with the blocks, and it might be the one that caused the damage.
And head of the UN mission in South Sudan says the country is not ready for elections.
In my engagements in New York, I shared the frank views expressed by some government officials, political parties, civil society, and many of you here in this plenary, that South Sudan today is not yet ready at this point to roll out free, fair, and credible elections.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. One person was killed and six others injured after a building collapsed in Juba's Haisoura neighborhood Thursday. An eyewitness says construction workers were carrying materials to the third floor when the building suddenly collapsed. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
A young woman in her 20s mourned her beloved husband, who is believed to have been buried under the rubble of a building that collapsed in Juba's Haisoura neighborhood this morning. It is not clear how many people were buried under the building. Police spokesperson Major General Daniel Justin says he does not have sufficient information on the number of people affected by the incident, adding that efforts are ongoing to recover bodies and rescue survivors. Hundreds of sympathizers and neighbors rushed to the scene to rescue about six construction workers. Lele Eliaba, a neighbor, says her house was destroyed when the building collapsed, but nobody was injured.
They were cutting construction blocks. Some people were down and others up, and they were lifting the blocks from one person to another. And we were seated here looking at them, but we suddenly saw the building falling on them.
Dennis Marcel Lado is another neighbor who says the building could have collapsed due to poor quality work.
I am not sure if the foundation of this building was well constructed. Another problem, I think, was that on the third floor, the workers overloaded it with the blocks, and it might be the one that caused the damage.
South Sudan in Focus was unable to reach both the engineer and the owner of the building for comments. Emmanuel Kamis Richard is the acting mayor for Juba City. He describes today's accident as an eye-opener.
To ensure that all the buildings in Juba are properly checked, whether they met the necessary conditional requirements to put up these structures. Therefore, we're going to be very serious, and I will have a meeting urgently with the engineering council, the state minister of housing and physical infrastructure. All our engineers will put them together to ensure that buildings are regulated. Number two, I want to urge the security organs to be vigilant, to track down the owner of this building so that he can be apprehended and then investigated to establish whether, prior to the construction of this building, he has qualified and met the necessary requirements. So
he says his office will send a team to inspect all tall buildings under construction around the city for compliance of construction requirements. Richard says everybody who owns a tall building in Juba must submit their documents to the city council within 14 days. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Still in Juba, the spokesperson of the South Sudan Police Service says four people were injured Tuesday during a shootout between the police and an armed man during demolition of a church near South Sudan's National Parliament. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Yes,
Members of the Christ Church Nakasongola prayed and sobered as they watched the police demolishing their church building located behind the National Legislative Assembly in Juba on Tuesday. Minutes after the church building was demolished, disagreement ensued between some of its members and security forces, resulting into a shooting. Rebecca KG, an eyewitness, says one person was killed and two others injured during the shooting. KG says many traders near the church closed their shops as security forces condoned the area.
Next to my place, one taxi driver was shot dead, and the owner of the money exchange kiosk near us was also shot. Also, there's another girl wounded on her chest next to the motorcycle stage.
Police spokesperson Major General Daniel Justin admits a known assailant shot at security forces who were inside the church compound. Justin says four people, including one security operative, were injured, adding that the situation is under control.
Somebody outside the fence of the church came and started shooting at the forces inside the church. And that shooting, of course, the exchange fire, and as a result, four people got wounded. One police personnel got wounded, who was shot at his shoulder, and another personnel from National Security shot in his head.
South Sudan in Focus could not independently verify the number of casualties from the incident. Michael Kenyi, a senior pastor at the Christ Church Nakasongola, says the land dispute between the church and some government officials started several years back.
It is not the whole government officials, but these are just some few individuals who are the ones now wanting to grab the land so that they use it for themselves and their children. Now the lawmakers have become land grabbers.
John Aganyi is the chairperson of Information Committee at the South Sudan Legislative Assembly. He dismisses the allegation by some of the church members who accuse the South Sudan National Parliament of grabbing the church land. He says 2 years ago, the parliament filed a case against the church at the High Court, and the court ruled in favor of the parliament.
A problem which was possibly could be handled by the church. There might be some people behind it. And for that matter, the claim is genuine. You have the writing, you go ahead with the court proceeding about the East African court that they have made an appeal. We belong to East Africa, but a proper law like legislation or something cannot be ruled out by this court of East Africa, because East African, we have no any bilateral agreement with them that they could allow and allot the land to anybody in South Sudan.
In May last year, the South Sudan Ministry of Justice served the Nakasongola Christ Church with an eviction order. The eviction notification prompted late Bishop Jumbo Mula to file a case at East African Court of Justice. Major General Justin says the court ruled in favor of the National Assembly and served the church leaders with an eviction notice. Rose Jumbo is the wife of the late Bishop Jumbo Mula. She says the church has been occupying the disputed land for more than 40 years.
He gave birth to eight children in the same place for more than 40 years, and even the bishop died in this place. Now they want the place. Where have they been all this time? If they are really good people, why didn't they come to us openly and we sit down to discuss this issue? If they are people who can listen, why are they using government equipment to beat us?
Jumbo is appealing to the government to intervene and stop individuals who are fighting the Church of God. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Some political analysts in South Sudan's capital, Juba, are expressing mixed reactions over the country's decision to join the non-aligned movement. One analyst criticizes the government, saying the admission to the group does not bring any benefits for ordinary South Sudanese. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Juba.
Deng Dao Ding, South Sudan's acting Minister of Foreign Affairs, said the country was admitted to the membership of the non-aligned movement during a recent ministerial meeting in Baku, Azerbaijan.
The non-aligned movement is a movement that was formed in 1955, and it goes from that time up to now. It is an organization that look at both welfare and interests of those members who are members of this particular movement. The interests range from political to economics, development.
Deng says South Sudan admission to group could lead to trade, investment, and development opportunities. But James Baboya, a policy analyst with the Institute of Social Policy and Research in Juba, says joining the non-aligned movement does not benefit South Sudanese.
There was no joy in Juba. There was no joy in South Sudan because they know for sure this kind of, you know, admission doesn't bring anything to South Sudan. I mean, it doesn't change the independence of the South Sudan. It doesn't change the stability of South Sudan. It doesn't add up in terms of bringing revenue to South Sudan.
Abraham Kuali Nyuon is an assistant professor of political science at the University of Juba. Nyuon says South Sudan membership at the non-aligned movement could help diversify the country's relations with various countries.
Non-alignment movement often emphasizes peace and security, and South Sudan participation can help promote peaceful resolution to conflicts, mitigation of the risk of regional tensions, and strengthen its national security.
He says South Sudan could also face challenges after joining the group.
If there are institutions that are already or countries supporting South Sudan who are opposing to non-alignment movement, then this is going also to trigger enmity between those countries and South Sudan.
The non-aligned movement is a forum of 120 countries, including 53 African countries, that are not formally aligned with or against any major power bloc. It is second largest group in the world. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a South Sudanese analyst says President Salva Kiir's party is not following its house rules. Stay tuned for that story after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you could swap lives for a day, who would you swap with and why?
I'll swap with our finance minister because I think he's doing a yeoman job and I want to have a feel of what he goes through in a day.
I'll change with my dad because I love him so much. He has been there for us. I mean, like, he has taken us in good schools. He has taken care of us. Because for us, our mom is not working. We depend on our dad.
If I was to swap with someone, I feel I admire myself more than anyone in this life. And I feel I'm capable of doing what those people are doing. So I would not swap for any person.
I would like to change position with the president. Because I feel it would be nice to give instruction to everyone.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The head of the United Nations mission in South Sudan says the country is not ready for elections due to some incomplete tasks in the country's revitalized peace agreement. South Sudan's Minister for Cabinet Affairs insists the country has formulated laws required for conducting elections. For VOA News, Manyang, David Mayar reports from Juba.
Speaking at the 30th monthly meeting of the Reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, or IJMEC, in Juba on Thursday, Nicholas Asom, who is also the special representative of the UN Secretary General, said South Sudan's leaders have not created a conducive political and security environment for conducting elections.
In my engagements in New York, I shared the frank views expressed by some government officials, political parties, civil society, and many of you here in this plenary, that South Sudan today is not yet ready at this point to roll out free, fair, and credible elections.
Asom says lack of political will, adequate resources, and a commitment to create a suitable political environment impede South Sudan's ability to conduct a credible elections by 2024.
I echo the call made by IGAD last month, urging the national legislature to expedite the reconstitution of the National Elections Commission and the Political Parties Council.
Martin Elia Lomoro, South Sudan's Cabinet Affairs Minister and Secretary General for the High-Level Implementation Committee, says the transitional government of national unity is making progress in preparing for elections.
The key commissions that are critical for the conduct of elections will be the NRC, the National Constitutional Review Commission. Under the National Constitutional Review Commission, we have received a draft budget for the commissions to operate. We have also sent a message to all the parties to submit the list of their representatives to this commission.
Lomoro says the draft bill for the Political Parties Council is ready and the political parties are now working on nominating their representatives at the council. Stephen Parkwall, Secretary General of the National Transitional Committee, says lack of funds for implementing transitional security arrangements could affect the completion of tasks outlined in the peace agreement.
The NPC continues to work on securing funding for security mechanism, operating costs, and release of approved emergency food items for the graduated unified forces who are stranded at various training centers to pave the way for the commencement of phase two. Unfortunately, the funds have not been released until today.
The chairperson of the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, a body monitoring South Sudan's 2018 peace agreement, says the parties have little time left for completing all the tasks in the peace deal. General Charles Taigi Twice says his office is worried about the slow pace at which the parties are moving as they implement the task in the agreement.
I would like, therefore, to make the following recommendations to Aratigine. Provide adequate and predictable funding for the implementation of the all critical pending tasks of the agreement. B. Continue to consult and dialogue in the spirit of collegial cooperation and consensus to address emerging issues during the implementation of the agreement.
Ter Manyangadwich, a South Sudanese civil society activist with the Center for Peace and Advocacy, says he agrees with the views of the head of the UN mission in South Sudan. He says the country's leaders are not ready for any elections.
I don't think we are going to have an election because our leaders, they're just talking. They don't do things in practical way in which the citizen can could be convinced, you know. If we are going to have an election next year, we need to see things are happening, you know, by action. The issue of the civic and the political space is really very challenging. You know, when you see the other political parties that are remaining silent, it's not because they don't want to go forward, it's because they feel to be intimidated.
South Sudan is scheduled to hold its first elections in December 2024. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayor in Juba.
Still on election-related stories, a political analyst in Juba says President Salva Kiir's endorsement to run for office in 2024 was not done according to the SPLM's national convention. Jokmadut Jok says President Kiir's Tuesday speech at a rally in Wau did not address important issues that must be tackled before holding elections in 2024. He says regardless of whether elections are held on time or not, South Sudanese real issues have to do with how the country is run.
It is quite all right for a group of citizens in any country to endorse a candidate to run for top office in the land. The problem is that until yesterday, those people who were quote-unquote endorsing were actually saying that President Kiir, chairman of the SPLM, has been nominated to become the flag bearer for the party in the upcoming elections 2024. And so the word nomination irked a lot of people because constitutionally, President Kiir has not been nominated because the party nomination can only happen at the national convention, which has not happened. So the use of the word endorsement seems to be the more fitting word, and that is all. That's all right. The problem is that they should specify that only a group of people, such as those who attended the rally in Wau, were the ones who nominated or who endorsed them, and not the entire party.
Staying on the rally in Wau, we watch as President Kiir arrived in Wau, and he held this huge rally for his supporters in the Bahar Ghazal region. What did you think of the rally, the size, and other thoughts around the rally?
On the rally itself, of course, it was a very big show. So in that regard, you can say that the SPLM has scored in a big way, at least in symbolic terms. But having said that, there is one thing that has flown under the radar, which is that Bahar Ghazal is a very diverse region, like all the other regions of South Sudan, obviously. And Wau itself is a multi ethnic community. My observation was that people who are residents of Wau town and the vicinities, especially the western part of it, all the way to Raja, I didn't see too much representation of those people at the gathering. My view is that the SPLM may not be as popular in those communities as it will wish to have. And so the rally itself can be described as a success in terms of the numbers it attracted. But so many people had their, a bit of disappointment in the message that was presented. The only thing that the president has said was that he appreciated the endorsement and that he will work for the welfare of the people of South Sudan, and that he would renovate the Wau football stadium. There was no talk about all the challenges that are facing the country, including the looming humanitarian crisis of food shortage all across the land. There was no talk of how you are going to hold elections before you do a credible census, before you do a constitutional review, before you secure the country in terms of having necessary unified forces, as was indicated in the roadmap.
That's Jokmadu Jok, co-founder of the Juba-based SARD Institute. He spoke with my colleague Nabil Biagio from Juba earlier yesterday. The Secretary General of the South Sudan SPLM Party, Peter Lamboth, has shed light on President Salva Kiir's endorsement during Tuesday's rally in Wau. According to Both, the endorsement is only a show of support for President Kiir. He says similar rallies are set to kick off in the regions of Upper Nile and Equatoria, followed by primary and a convention and election of a chairman of the party, who will be the flag bearer and the presidential nominee for the upcoming December 2024 elections.
In the Greater Bahar Ghazal region, it is composed of four states, like Sabi and Stative Area, decided that they want to support the nomination of Comrade Salva Kiir Mayardit, which came out last year in December during the meeting of the SPLM Political Bureau and the SPLM National Liberation Council, that he was going to be our next chairman after the convention, and that he would be our flag bearer. So Bahar Ghazal region, SPLM members decided that they want to support that division, and that was what took us to Wau, which is the capital of the former Greater Bahar Ghazal region.
Yes, this is actually a very important point, because we spoke to an analyst. He said, he reminded us that according to the SPLM constitution, the process of nominating and reaching the final endorsement for president here as flag bearer and party presidential candidate is supposed to go through the National Convention, which is the highest organ in your party, which represents a nationwide membership. The endorsement only came from people in Greater Bahar Ghazal, what we saw in Wau. How do you explain that?
Well, first of all, we call it support of the nomination of Comrade Salfa. What happened is that the people of Greater Bahar Ghazal, they have decided to give their support now. The people of Greater Upper Nile also will do the same, hopefully sometime in December when the rains are finished. And the people of Greater Equatoria will also do very soon. But those are just a support to the nomination. What will happen is that we will go through the process of primaries in the party. Everyone will go back to their constituencies and start the process of primaries from there. And when people are elected from there, they will come all the way to the National Convention, where the chairperson and the deputy chairpersons will be elected, as well as the Secretary General, and also members of the National Liberation Council will by then come up from the grassroots level. So what you are seeing today is not the final endorsement from yourself, but this is an expression of support to him as a chair of SPLM, and to give direction, especially to the party, that unity of purpose must be created now before we go for the final meeting of the National Convention, so that we don't have any problems within the party. That's
yes.
What is being expressed. It is not the final decision.
So the National Convention will take place?
The National Convention will take place hopefully sometime in March next year. We'll start the processes by the middle of January. And then by March, we are hopeful that the National Convention will take place, and then the national elections in December 2024.
That's Peter Lamboth, Secretary General of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement. He spoke with my colleague Nabil Biagio from Juba this past hour. That's all we prepared for you this Thursday, when I'll leave you with Emi J. Yore and the song Maratabet.
About Maratabet. Maratabet, oh, oh.
Mujibu nusu sambala.
Yeah, 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 Maratabet.
Mujibu nusu sambala, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maratabet.
Mujibu nusu sambala.
Yeah, 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 Maratabet, oh,
oh. Marata suburwa marata ikira.
Wala bilai banata sena deka dirminum biga karaban. Kita bishu alala fiambio. Grafi juba bat bu grafi rumbe Bene ya bilanga langa 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 Oji fate si shunu Alela binum Si juba bridge Bukura binum Si da Vinci Bat bukura binum Si tourist hotel Fi yangyo
We have been listening to Emi J. Yore and the song Maratabet. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Patrick Dare, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.